worshipping today. It's been a very busy and exciting week with the hottest day of the summer so far, the solar eclipse on Wednesday, A-level results on Thursday. I've got a grandson, you understand. The Battle of Flowers on Friday and the Moonlight Parade on Saturday. So what a week. We welcome Reverend Peter, who will be leading our service this morning and will be celebrating Holy Communion, which will be open to everyone here. And we are very happy to welcome baby Cody Helieu, who will be dedicated later in our service. He's here with his mum and dad, Catherine and Andrew, and the godparents, Stefan and Beth, and members of the family. So you're all very, very welcome. It's lovely to have you with us. We're so looking forward to it. And we welcome any other visitors who are with us this morning. Housekeeping. Tea and coffee and refreshments will be served in the schoolroom after the service, and you're very warmly invited to join us. Prayer is available after the service. Please remain in your seat or come to the front, and someone will come and alongside you to pray. Please could everyone else go across to the hall quietly to continue in fellowship over tea and coffee. So thank you to everyone involved in today's service. To Peter for all his preparation and planning. Ali on computer. Marilyn and Frank. I think Marilyn's she here yet? She's going to be a reader. She's sure she's expected. That's lovely, our Bible reads. Frank's also our steward today. And a big thank you to our musicians and singers who came to our music practice on Thursday. And we're delighted that Jo is able to join us this morning with her guitar. So that will be great. And thank you to our welcomers as well. So I know about one birthday this week. It's Steve's birthday, Steve Wright, and he'll be celebrating his birthday on Thursday, the 20th. Do we have any other birthdays this week? Oh wow, and that's Derek. So you can play for both. So let's sing Happy Birthday, and it'll be up here.
Birthday to you, happy birthday to you.
So we're going to start our worship with two worship songs. Well, no, I've got to do the call to worship first. It's up there. The call to worship is Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. So now we're going to start with our worship songs. The first is Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And please take your seats. Let us pray. A prayer of praise. Lord God, we thank you for working tirelessly in our lives, righting wrongs, bringing good from bad. Thank you for your abundance of love and generosity. Help us to be generous with all that you bless us with, going that extra mile for those in need, just as you did for us. We praise you for your loving grace and forgiveness. We thank you for the change you bring about in and through us. Help us to be aware of all opportunities to pour out from the heart your love and give you all the glory. From the heart come our unending thanks and praise. Amen. And now a prayer of confession. Father, life is far from easy at times. We can experience pain in various forms, through humiliation, rejection, or prejudice. Words can be like arrows piercing the heart. Actions can inflict wounds that can fester. Father, you offer everyone forgiveness. Please help us to forgive others. It can feel hard to forgive those who hurt us, but you can lead us in the process. Help us also to forgive ourselves when we have been the ones inflicting pain. Forgive us, cleanse us, draw us closer. Give us healthy hearts and minds that reflect you in all we say and do. Amen. And now we're going to have our Bible readings. Marilyn's here now. I saw her arrive. She waved at me. Hello, Marilyn. It's there for you. I've got an introduction to read about it. So the first reading is from Genesis, and it's Genesis 45. It's about Joseph. Joseph the dreamer had survived a nightmare experience. He survived threats to his life and well-being. He survived the pit. He survived false accusations. He survived imprisonment. He survived a famine. In our reading now, we hear how Joseph even survived success, remembering his roots and his family ties as he humbled himself before God, as he reconciled with his brothers. Thank you, Marilyn.
The reading is taken from Genesis 45, verses 1 to 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Make everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard all about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they'd done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there's been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded to me in Egypt and about everything you've seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And the second reading is from Romans chapter 8. We know that in everything God works for the good of those who love him. Can anything separate us from the love Christ has for us? Can troubles or problems or sufferings? I am sure that nothing can separate us from the love God has for us. Not death, not life, not angels, not ruling spirits. Nothing now, nothing in the future. No powers, nothing above us. Nothing below us or anything else in the whole world will never be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be sharing in such a special service for us all today. God has called each and every one of us here today for a special reason, and he has a special word for each one of us today. Thank you, Doreen, for leading our service, and to Marilyn and Frank for bringing our readings. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your word, made known through prophets, made firm through scripture, made flesh in Christ, and made present by your Spirit. Thank you that you speak through us and to us. Make us expectant to hear your voice speaking to our hearts, to be ready to respond to your word and your call, and willing to surrender our lives to you. Amen. I'm going to ask Scally to put a slide on the screen. Now here is the eclipse and the cross, and these are the themes of my message today, because as we heard on Wednesday, we saw one of those great wonders of God's creation, God's design, the partial solar eclipse. I wonder whether you had the special glasses or whether you had your kitchen colander and a piece of card, and hopefully safely experience something of that moment where the light failed a little and we stood in wonder and awe at God's design. As the psalmist declared, "To him who made the great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night, his loving kindness is everlasting." Wonderful words. You may be surprised to learn that that word eclipse is found in the Bible 4 times in the New Testament. And I want to share those 4 occasions with you this morning. The word eclipse is used 3 times by Luke in his gospel and once by the writer of the letter to the Hebrews. And it's that Greek word eklipo, which is not to be confused with calippo, which is an ice lolly. So this is eklipo. And each time the word eklipo is mentioned, it has the same meaning. When we think of the word eclipse, we might say that it is to obscure or to block, like how the moon blocked the sun on Wednesday just before sunset. But in the New Testament, the word eclipse, eklipo, has a different emphasis. It means to fail, to fail. to utterly cease. Like how the light failed on Wednesday. So first of all, the word is found in Luke chapter 16, verse 9. And in that verse, Jesus says that earthly wealth will fail, eclipo. Earthly wealth will fail. That love of money can eclipse, overshadow our love for God. How selfish greed blocks out generosity and ultimately fails to bring us lasting happiness and security. And we affirm today that our security is not found in wealth, it is found in God. Our eternal security in God, our provider, who provides our daily bread, what we need, that spiritual strength, as well as those practical provisions for us. So Jesus teaches how earthly wealth will fail. Secondly, Luke uses the word again in chapter 22, verse 32. And it's in the upper room where Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples, as we will share the Holy Meal later. And in his prayers, Jesus prays that Simon Peter's faith may not eclipo, may not fail. That Simon Peter's faith may not fail. Well, Peter, like all of us, are given free will. And sadly, on that dark, long night before Good Friday, Peter's denial would eclipse his love for Jesus, his Lord. Peter's faith failed. Peter failed Jesus. And yet, amazingly, that wasn't the end for Peter, as it was for Judas, sadly, because Peter found a way to humble himself and be forgiven and be restored. And on a sunlit beach on Easter Day, or maybe a little later, his darkest hour gave way to love and light. There was reconciliation, a unity, a coming back together. And friends, that is the good news of the gospel. That is the good news of the gospel. We heard it in our Old Testament reading that Marilyn read to us. Joseph anticipated that good news of the gospel as well, as he was finally reconciled with his brothers who had wronged him painfully so many years before. And what a tender moment Marilyn described as tears of pain and joy flowed together as Joseph embraced his brothers. All was forgiven. I wonder if you know that kind of forgiveness. I wonder if you need to know that kind of forgiveness today. Somebody has wisely defined forgiveness as disempowering the past. Disempowering the past. Not necessarily forgetting, but taking back the power that had been robbed in that act of violence or wrongdoing. Disempowering the past. I wonder what that would mean for us, for our families. Full forgiveness. This is the hope of the gospel. And this theme of forgiveness leads me to that third out of four mentions in the New Testament. Luke uses the word eklipo in chapter 23, verse 45. On Good Friday, Jesus was crucified between two thieves, and the sun was darkened for 3 hours. And that's the word again. The sun failed for 3 hours. We know that a solar eclipse may last some minutes, but not 3 hours. What was happening? Surely this was some kind of sign that this was a monumental moment in human history, never seen before. The circumstances around Jesus' death, as at his birth, were supernatural. One writer described how, as the angels sang at his birth, there was brightness at midnight, and at his death, there was darkness at noon. The death of Jesus was seismic and cosmic. The earth and the heavens were shaken. What kind of eclipse was this? What made the wheels of nature break for 3 hours? Well, it is a mystery to us. But I believe that some spiritual battle between light and darkness was taking place as Jesus hung on the cross and fought for you and me, fought the battle of sin and death. That in that moment, two worlds and kingdoms lined up and fought to the end. The kingdom of heaven centered on the holiness and goodness of God, locked in mortal combat against the kingdom of Satan, of evil and sin. A battle of good versus evil, light versus darkness, life versus death. Darkness covered the land, the temple curtain was ripped in two, and as Jesus dies, there is this eclipse. Something fails utterly. Is it the goodness of God? Is it the goodness of God? We sometimes sing, "The Father turns his face away." But I believe if he does, it is not out of abandonment, but out of pain to see his son suffering in that way. He can't bear to look. You see, God's light and goodness can never be extinguished. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not mastered it, overcome it, understood it. Jesus, the light of the world, as our banner says, shone as bright as ever on the cross. His light and his love could not be eclipsed, even in that moment, because his light didn't come from the outside, but from the inside. He shone like a lighthouse with words of mercy and forgiveness from the cross, like light piercing the darkness. On the cross, did Jesus fail utterly in his ministry? Far from it. His mission was finished. His cry was, "It is accomplished." He wasn't finished. And this gives you great hope today, friends, when everything else fails. His love never fails, never runs out. His love can never be eclipsed. And the good news for you today is that Jesus stands with you when those shadows of life come. When you are in your darkest hour, the amazing love of our amazing God is right around you. So if today you come to church in the shadow of the cross, that cold shadow of sin or pain or loss or disappointment, if your faith today seems eclipsed by your circumstances, then take heart. God has not abandoned you, just as he didn't abandon his son. The light of God shines on you this morning. The love of Christ reaches out to you. Hold firm, hold on, and know that nothing that you're facing, nothing in all creation, now or in the years or time to come, no circumstances can ever separate you from the love of God that he has for you in Christ Jesus the Lord. I don't know if we've got a slide showing the eclipse as a gradual event. An eclipse is gradual. It has its phases from light to darkness to light once again. And isn't that true of life? Life has its phases, light and shadow. And through patient endurance to light once more. Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning, as Scripture says. Our darkest hour gives way to light and love and renewal. This is our hope for ourselves, for the whole of creation, that we are being changed, eclipsed from glory into glory. And so I close with briefly that fourth mention of the word eclipse in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 12. Earth and heaven will pass away, but God is the same, and his years never fail. Eclipo. His years never fail. What a wonderful affirmation. The God of eternity who shares eternity with us when we put our faith in Jesus. Because this cross that we saw earlier is empty. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Alive in you and me by his Spirit. His years will never end. He will never fail you. So I invite you, as we respond now in worship, will you trust Jesus with your life today? Will you let him take control of your situation? Will you let him reign as Lord and Savior? Will you say, Jesus, be my light. Be my light today. Let us pray. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Eternal God, you have been the hope and joy of many generations of our churches. In every age, you have given people the power to seek you and in seeking to find you. And we pray you will grant us a clearer vision of your truth, a greater faith in your power, and a more confident assurance of your suffering love. to pray, when the way seems dark before me, give me the grace to walk in faith. When much is obscure to me, let me be all the more faithful to the little I can see. And when the distant scene is clouded, let me rejoice that at least the next step is plain. When insight fails, let obedience stand firm. Reign in me. Rule over my past. Pour out your forgiveness upon us, upon our families. Reign in me, today and always, Lord. Reign in me. Amen. And let's continue in worship as we sing those words. And then Doreen will lead us in prayer.
We're now going to have our prayers of intercession, our prayers for others. The response is on the screen, I think it's going to be. Yes, there it is. Yep. May the when I say, Lord of love and light, please reply with, may the light of Christ shine upon them. And in the final one, which is for ourselves, it changes to shine upon us all. So let us pray. Loving God, with faces touched by the light of a new day and hearts warmed by singing your praises and hearing your word, we now come before you to pray for the needs of your world. There are people and places that live under a dark shadow and may be in the dark about your love. Into the light of your presence, we raise those making the headline news this weekend. We hold in prayer those places in our world where the dangers of conflict, violence, fires and earthquakes, poverty and need are the experiences of everyday life. Lord of love and light, may the light of Christ shine upon them. Into the light of your presence, we raise our Jersey Methodist circuit. We pray for the renewal of the Holy Spirit, that we may be united in purpose and vision. Let us dream your dreams and see visions of the world as you created it to be. May a wave of collective prayer rise from within your Methodist people. We pray for those involved in the planning of our circuit weekend at the Biarritz Hotel in October. Lord of love and light, may the light of Christ shine upon them. Into the light of your presence, we raise those who are struggling with their health, those waiting for medical appointments, those recovering from illnesses or operations. We pray for your healing touch. Into the light of your presence, we raise those who are overshadowed by bereavement or loss. We pray for your peace and comfort. We pray for the members of our Bethlehem and Bethesda congregations who ask for our prayers today. Let us name them in our hearts. Send them good news of your love and care. Help us to help them. Lord of love and light, may the light of Christ shine upon them. Finally, into the light of your presence, we bring ourselves, the private struggles, the heart's yearnings, the hidden dreams, the unfulfilled potential. May this be our prayer, more and more yourself display, shining to the perfect day. Lord of love and light, may the light of Christ shine upon us all. Reign in your world, reign in your church, and reign in us all today and always. We ask these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, the light of the world. Amen. Amen. And now let us join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Peter's gone. Peter next.
Thank you, Doreen, for leading us. I'm going to ask now whether we can have Cody, if he's, is he sleeping so well? He's fast asleep. I tell you what, you can bring him up and then, yeah. If you hold him for a moment, and I'll ask you, Catherine and Andrew and the godparents, to come and join me up here. Introduce to you little Cody Lucas, who's about 2 months old, so very new to the world, very new to the world, but not new to the love of God, because from life's first breath until the last, the Lord is with us and gives us life. And so we're so blessed that you've brought baby Cody today for his dedication, and as you make promises to support him. He's just opening his eyes, so that's great timing. So we're here, first of all, two short Bible readings, and the words are there on the screen that I'll read. Firstly, from the book of Deuteronomy, reminding us how faith is not just for church, but for the home. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. And then from Mark chapter 9, Jesus took a little child and put the child among them. And taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for creating all things and for making us in your own image. And we thank you that while we were yet sinners, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of Mary, to live as one of us, to suffer death on the cross, and to rise again for our salvation. And especially today, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of a son to Andrew and Catherine. And we pray that you will bless Cody by your grace and through the love of his parents. May he come to know you and to share with all your people the life of the baptized, the bread of heaven, and the joys of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now Andrew and Catherine are going to make their promises. Andrew and Catherine, do you thankfully receive Cody as a gift from God? And do you promise to love and care for him?
We do.
Okay. Andrew and Catherine, will you share your faith with Cody and help him to pray and worship, that you and he together may cherish your place in the life of the church?
With God's help, we will.
And now, our own pledge for the congregations here, members of the body of Christ. Will you surround this family with your love, and will you support them with your prayers? With God's help, we will. And now Stefan and Beth will make their pledge as godparents. Stefan and Beth, will you help Andrew and Catherine to nurture their child Cody in the Christian faith? I'm going to take Cody for his blessing. There we are. Oh, he's so tiny. So I pray that God, our Father, will bless Cody with your Holy Spirit, that he may come to believe in Jesus Christ and glorify him forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you always, and may his protection and care be with you always, Cody Lucas, now and always. Amen. I'm reluctant, but I have to give him back. There we are.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah. And for some presentations here to make. A certificate of thanksgiving that I'll give to you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And then godparents' certificates for you and Stefan. And then a book from the church, God Takes Care of Me. A little board book all about the 23rd Psalm, the Lord our Shepherd. And we pray that the Lord will be shepherd to you as a family, to Cody, and to each one of your family and friends here today. So bless you all. Bless
you all.
I'll let you take your seats. And a prayer with the response, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray for Cody and his family and friends, that they may be strengthened in their love for each other and receive your gifts of wisdom and understanding. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. We pray that together we may follow Christ and witness to your love in our homes and in our community. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. I believe now we're going to prepare our hearts to receive communion as we remember the Lord's holy presence with us now as we sing. And I invite you, as you're comfortable, to stand or sit as we sing. In human form, born into poverty, he fulfilled his mother's song, that you would fill the hungry with good things and send the rich empty away, declaring the nearness of your kingdom He forgave sinners, cast out demons, raised the dead, restored the blind and lame, visited the sick, the prisoners and the needy, and gathered disciples to continue to declare the good news in word and deed, transfiguring the world in the power of your Holy Spirit. By the baptism of his suffering, death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. We pray together, saying, "Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in that final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Amen." We pray together. Lord, we come to this your table, trusting in your mercy, and not in any goodness of our own. We are not worthy to gather up the crumbs under your table, but it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. So feed us with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, that he may forever live in him and he in us. Amen. All are welcome to receive bread and wine. And we will receive in a continuous flow. The steward will direct you. And in row by row, you will come along the back wall here. And you'll have the blessing, two blessings of seeing baby Cody and feeling the draft from the fan as you come by to receive the bread from myself and then the wine from Doreen, and then to return up the center aisle to your seat. If you would like to receive a blessing, but not bread and wine, then come and stand at the front like this, and I will say a short blessing over you. And as we receive bread and wine, Joe will lead us in songs of worship that we can remain seated to listen to, or close our eyes and just pray as we remember the Lord's offering to us and his forgiveness and mercy and light and grace that are found in bread and wine. So come, for all is ready. And then we will bring the bread and wine to those who would like to receive in their seats.
pray together. We thank you, Lord, for feeding us with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. Keep us in your grace, and at the coming of Christ in glory, bring us with your saints into the life of your kingdom.
Amen. We hope that you will be able to join us in the church hall for refreshments afterwards. And we have had a blessed time together this morning, and pray God's continued blessing into this new week that lies ahead, and the blessing on the rest of your day's celebrations. So let us go into this new week, yielding ourselves to God as we sing, "All to Jesus, I surrender."
The blessing. First, the dedication of our offerings. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, on this day of dedication, we now dedicate these gifts to you and those gifts given directly, and with them ourselves. Lord, bless these gifts and bless our lives, that we may be to a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there a final blessing? No? Okay, well, I shall say it. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you all and remain with you and those you love this day and forevermore. Amen. We say together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Troubled sea, whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea, whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea.